Got to ask you a question. Do you find yourself going through all the motions of being a Christian, go to church, get involved in different things? You're regular, you're dependable, and all those things, and yet there's something missing on the inside. I want to deal with that tonight. If you go to Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 13. This is a very tough chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ really tears in to a group of people. The scribes and the Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites over and over and over again. And it's interesting as we read in these verses why he does that. Let's notice in verse number 13, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, and when they are full of extortion, within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of the Word of God. We recognize this very tough things that have been said here. But Lord, I pray that you might help us not only to understand what is said to the Pharisees, but you might speak to our hearts as well. Glorify yourself, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I'd like to state, I believe in having correct doctrine. I believe that with all of my heart. Because correct doctrine is truth that represents God. But I will say this, perhaps as a question, can a man have good doctrine and be inflexible and difficult to live with? Can a man have all of his I's dotted and his T's crossed and at the same time not act towards others as we would think of as a Christian? Can a man believe all the right doctrines and be judgmental and vindictive of others? Have we ever considered the law of God? That it's about a relationship with God and with man? Consider these words. I quote, "All the things of God's law are weighty, but those are most weighty which are most expressive of inward holiness and art, the instances of self-denial, contempt of the world, and resignation to God, in which lies the life of religion. Judgment and mercy toward men and faith toward God are the weightier matters of the law, the good things which the Lord our God requires." I'm reminded of Micah 6:8. It says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." And so we find here that there is something that is more, I'm not sure if we say the word important, but more pronounced, that which we need to look at very, very carefully as we consider what do we believe and how do we act as a result of it. 8 times in what we have just read, the Lord pronounces a woe against the scribes and the Pharisees. Each one of these deal with their character and conduct towards others in some way or manner. Now the Lord knew that these were men who had studied the Word of God, the law of God, though we find that they like to add to it to make it more stringent. And so we come to the fifth woe, verse number 23, and it does not denounce what they have done, but what they haven't done. Let's read that verse once again. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." That's like you buying some pepper, and you're going to pull out all the grains of pepper, and you're going to count them, and then you're going to take 10% of them and give them to the Lord. This is where we're at when they're talking like this. He says, though you ought to have done this, there is something that you have left undone. And notice what he says, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The Lord wants us to understand something. Relationships are as important as rules. I'm not sure I could say more important, but they are certainly as important as the rules. We have the law of God, but the law of God is for a reason. And the reason is to help us to understand that we are in a relationship with God and a relationship with men, and this is how we're to act accordingly. Now these fellows, they were extremely strict in their tithes, but they left off the purpose of that tithe. It was to be an income for the Pharisees and that were there to offer sacrifices that gave judgment, mercy, and faith. They were not understanding that this is all about a spiritual matter, and Jesus calls this hypocrisy. I want us tonight to note 3 characteristics of hypocrisy. I'll get it out sooner or later. Number 1, they majored on the minors and minored on the majors. We find that they were blind guides that could lead to nowhere because they put their water through a strainer to avoid drinking a gnat. And yet the Lord said they swallowed a camel, verse number 24. They love the details of the law. They love to debate how far you could walk on the Sabbath and what constituted work, how you should fasten tassels to your garment, and all kinds of other, I would call, silly things. However, in all of their discussion and concern for the law, they missed a point of all the laws that we find in the Word of God. They were meant to draw us to Him and teach how to honor and respect each other. Remember what Jesus said? He summarized the law and said we should love God and we should love men. Very simple, amen? So you take the commandments, the Ten Commandments, you can divide those up. The first four have to do with God. The last six have to do with men. And so it's to draw us nearer unto Him. You know, we may be unwavering in our church attendance and our devotional times and yet come away with a smugness that believes we have done what God has required us to do and yet not have any real change in the heart. That's what I was talking about a moment ago. We can go through all the actions and not have that genuine love one for another, not have that which really ought to be within each of our lives. Listen, we may be satisfied and perhaps even proud of our devotion, yet leave the major things unaddressed. Major things like justice, which is upholding the law fairly for all people. Perhaps rallying about those who are victims and standing with the victimized. It is such things as mercy, which is compassion and patience and discretion and the willingness to get involved with others. It is faith, remaining true to our calling and following through on our commitment to the Lord. I would add to that holiness, measuring and adjusting our lives so that we are living by God's standards rather than those of the wider society. It's forgiveness and grace toward others. Oh, how we need that, amen? Recognizing that just like us, other people will fail. And just like us, they wish to be loved and forgiven as they get back up rather than be ridiculed, marginalized, and excluded. And these things that we're speaking of here, we might be satisfied, and yet there are things that need to be in our lives, and one of those is sharing our faith with family, friends, and co-workers. It is vital that we have these kind of things within our lives. We can be smug about our supposed goodness, believing that a tent meeting is a greater display of our supposed goodness and of our spirituality, and completely missing the point. And that is the gospel is preached, whether in a sweltering tent or in a rented auditorium. I was at a meeting years ago, and a man was there, and he stood and he bragged about how he had preached on the streets in Salt Lake City, and how he had basically screamed at the people who were around about him. And for him, that was really, I guess, his mark of spirituality. I'm not sure about you, but I would have probably went the other side of the street if a guy was screaming at me. You know, we can be smug about our supposed goodness and believe these kinds of things. But, brethren, what is important that we major on the majors. They focused on externals rather than heart. It was the things on the outside. It's like cleaning the outside of a cup and not the inside. Notice verse 25. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." They focused on the outer rather than the inner. And what's interesting in that verse is, you clean up the inner man, it seems to clean up the outer as well. I remember years ago, I was dealing with the youth out in Seattle, and we had meeting. Well, we had Sunday school, but we also had a meeting every Sunday night, an hour before church started. And we had a little place fixed up where we met at. And one night, this young man came. I'm not joking. He stood as tall as I am. He was 6'6". But this guy weighed somewhere around 350 pounds. I mean, I'm like this and he's like that. And that night, I had decided to help our young people to understand why it was sinful for a man to have long hair. Because remember back then, that was a big fad back in the, well, about the 70s and 80s. And so I decided to address that. And here's this young man, and would you believe he had hair clear down past his collar and onto his back. I wanted to change my message so much, but I didn't have anything else to give, and I thought God wanted me to do so. What was interesting, in the service that night, this young man got saved. He began to attend church, and it was the following week as he came in, or the third week, I'm not sure which. He walked in, he had his hair cut. He was dressed very nicely, and he acted excited about it. What happened? The inside got cleaned up, and it just kind of, took care of the outside as well. These people were concerned with appearance, with little thought to the heart and character. William Barclay, a tremendous writer, somewhat difficult to read at times, but he said this, and I quote, "There is many a man who wears the right clothes to church, carefully hands in his offering to the church, adopts the right attitude at prayer, is never absent from the celebration of the sacrament, and who is not doing an honest day's work, and is irritable and bad-tempered and mean with his money. There are women who are full of good works and who serve on all kinds of committees, whose children are lonely for them at night. There's nothing easier than to observe all the outward action of religion and yet be completely irreligious." What happened? They focused on the externals rather than that which was within. How we dress the body is important, but how we dress the heart is much more important. Thirdly, they use religion as a cover for spiritual deadness. They were dead. Once again, Jesus addressed the superficial inconsistency of their lives. They looked good on the outside, but they were like a grave. They were dead on the inside. Notice verse 27. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are full of within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Around the time of the Passover, when the pilgrims were coming to Jerusalem for the celebration, as you remember, it would cause a man to be unclean if he touched a dead body. And so what they would do is, before that feast would take place, they would go out with whitewash or a paint-like substance, and they would put it upon the graves, that people who were coming in would not touch that, and that they might be able to celebrate with them. And so these painted white, so people would become unclean and thereby miss the holy celebration. That was the objection. So Jesus used this as an illustration. Just because the graves are dressed up doesn't change what they are. It's a resting place of decaying bodies. Let's just be honest. Likewise, these leaders wore fancy robes. They had tremendous titles They had a power over people while they were spiritually dead on the inside. How we combat the tendency to play the church game in our lives. How do we do that? How do we keep from being like these Pharisees? Let me give you just a few thoughts here. Number one, regularly remind yourself and others that you're saved by grace alone. Amen? It's not by your works. You're saved by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was His grace that allowed that to take place. Number two, look for ways to serve in simple ways. Look for that which we can do in a simple way. Simply somebody walking in, we grab the door and open it for them. We see a piece of paper on the ground and we pick it up. We notice something out of place and we go and put it back into place. We look for those simple little things that we might serve Him. Thirdly, and very importantly, I believe we need to talk to everyone and anyone. Be kind. Try to be especially alert for those people who are regularly overlooked by others. Will you take that time to talk? How are we going to get away from this hypocrisy? Put others first, and we go to them and talk to them. By the way, waiting for everybody to come to you is not the same. It's us going to them. And I believe that becomes very important. And lastly, I would say this. If some way, somehow you are honored, by the way, if you're not a hypocrite, somehow God will honor your humility. And when that happens, give the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that allowed you the strength and the ability to do whatever it is they are praising you for. So here we find Pharisees that were not observing these very simple things. And as a result, the Lord Jesus called them hypocrites. They looked good, but on the inside, it wasn't so. They had all their ducks in a row, but they had no concern about God's people. There'd be a big difference. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much that we have the privilege to have a humble spirit. We have the privilege to be those who enjoy the presence of others. We seek to serve not for adulation, but for your glory. Lord God, I pray you help us to see within ourselves, to examine as to whether some of these things be true to us, and to repent of it, to turn from it, and allow you just have complete control. Work on the remainder of tonight. Bless the fellowship that follows. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.